You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to Students Incorporated, a podcast where we dive into relevant topics and issues related to the world of business, technology, education, and design. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Episodes include student conversations, interviews with thought leaders, and inspirational stories with an international flavor. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok.
In today's episode, we will be discussing Model United Nations, which is a way for students to actively learn about international relations, diplomacy, debate, and the UN. My name is Kush Natani, and I'll be your host today. You may know me as the tech engineer for the Students Incorporated podcast, but I'm also an active member and future president of the Model United Nations Club. So, Mr. Jason and I switched roles for this episode. But you'll be happy to know that Lion is our co-host, who also happens to be another member of the club. Joining us today will be Mr. Dayton, our school club advisor, Jeremy, the club president, and Karis, the vice president. Today's topics will include discussions about the United Nations itself, how Model UN works, and a few upcoming conferences organized entirely by students. Before we get started, here's the quote of the day.
Our quote of the day comes from Dag Hammarskjöld, the second ever Secretary General of the United Nations, which says, "The UN was not created to take mankind to heaven, but rather to save humanity from hell." The Secretary General of the United Nations is essentially the CEO, or the boss of the UN, voted into power by the member states. It must be someone who is politically experienced and morally astute, and up to the diplomatic standard that's required to facilitate conversations between 193 member states who have very different viewpoints and opinions. There have been 9 Secretary Generals so far, with the newest one being Antonio Guterres, elected in 2021.
Here are some headline news from around the world. The top movies of 2022 came out as follows. Number 1. Avatar: Way of Water earned a total of approximately $2.1 billion. 3 more Avatar movies are planned for 2024, 2026, and 2028. The first Avatar movie released in 2009 and earned $2.92 billion, making it the highest grossing film of all time. Number 2, Top Gun Maverick earned $1.4 billion. The first Top Gun film released in 1986 and made a total of $357 million globally. Number 3, Jurassic World Dominion with $1 billion. It was the 7th film in the Jurassic film series. The very first Jurassic Park movie came out in 1993 and grossed over $914 million worldwide, surpassing Spielberg's E.T., The Extraterrestrial. Number 4, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness with $955 million. The first Doctor Strange film was released in 2016 and earned $677 million globally. Number 5, Minions: The Rise of Gru made $939 million. The first Minions film, which was released in 2015, earned approximately $1.16 billion. A fun fact about all of these movies is that they're all sequels. Alright, now from movies and business to sports and business, which, by the way, will be one of our upcoming episodes. JD Sports is claiming that 10 million of its customers are now at risk due to a large-scale cyber attack that happened to the company. Customers' private information from around 2018 to 2020 could have been accessed by hackers. JD Sports is trying to fix the problem and is contacting its customers to inform them of the massive issue. Moving on to the weather in Thailand, lately, the air quality has really been dropping. The weather has gotten colder, but the air has gotten worse. That's why it's recommended that even though the weather is cool, don't spend too much time outside, or it could hurt your health. If you are outside, feel free to wear masks to protect yourself. Let's begin the first part of the episode.
Can you please introduce yourselves and say how long you have been a part of MUN?
I'll start. My name is Mr. Dayton, and I've been a part of MUN for probably around 16 years.
Okay, hi everyone. My name is Karis. I'm a senior this year, and I've been part of MUN since freshman year, so this is my 4th year.
Okay, my name's Jeremy. I'm second-gen ICSman as well as the current club president. I've been in MUN for 4 years, so that'll be starting from my freshman year coming up to senior year.
Can you also tell us what MUN is and what students are tasked with doing?
I'll take that. Model United Nations is an incredible venue for students to participate in, to share what they know about the world, and really to interact with other students, to learn what their capabilities are. And it's been a fantastic avenue for students at ICS to be able to just project their worldview and to share their views with others.
In more simple terms, we're basically role-playing countries to solve current world problems. Anything from like the current Ukraine war all the way to like something fantastical like the French Revolution, for instance.
Our next question is, why should people join ICSMUN and participate in conferences?
I think for me, it's a fun way to meet new people. You're meeting people across international schools and even Thai schools sometimes across Thailand, and so you're able to meet like-minded people and bond over topics that you're interested in. And at ICSMUN, we have a bunch of different schools coming, and I think it's a great opportunity to improve your social skills.
Yeah, apart from your social skills, they can actually really help with like public speaking if that's like one of your weak suits. So for me personally, like when I was just coming into high school, I was a really timid person. I really didn't engage much with like my fellow students. And to be honest, going to like an international conference and like engaging with like hundreds of new people, that was something that I really couldn't think about or really even couldn't imagine. When Guy, a senior from at that time, I think, a junior at that time, introduced me to MUN and actually got me engaged with it, it was a great opportunity for me to like actually develop like more social skills, like go talk to more people and actually share my opinions on international affairs and current world issues.
Not just social skills, let's talk about leadership skills. You two have developed some amazing leadership skills, and I'm really proud of you guys, how you've been able to share this vision of what is ICSMUN with the current students. We've grown in leaps and bounds in spite of the COVID season.
For someone who is interested in joining MUN, what are the fundamental skills and characteristics they should strive to have?
I think a huge part of MUN is just the desire to learn about current events and the desire to learn something new, because a lot of the times people don't want to join MUN because they have to learn a lot of things, whether it's procedure or how does a conference run. It's very difficult sometimes for a lot of people to grasp what we're actually doing. And so I think a fundamental skill is just the desire to participate, to have fun, and to speak with confidence. They should definitely strive to have those.
Apart from like that innate desire to learn, I think you should really come in with like ideas of diplomacy and like something that you can do is like basing everything you do in like off of the mindset that you're there to change the world, and whatever you're gonna do is something that you can benefit the entire global community. So it's less about like, oh, I'm better than you, whatever you say is wrong and whatever I say is right. And it's more about how can you and I, a countries with like totally opposing viewpoints sometimes, can work together to essentially like resolve conflicts or like make the world a better place by eliminating, say, like poverty or conflicts in the world.
Those are excellent reasons. I think also a growth mindset is something that everyone in our club has and really seeks to push forward. And if you're willing to learn from others, if you're willing to learn from your mistakes and put yourself out there, you're going to grow. We don't have this mindset of like perfection in MUN, like, oh, I'm going to be best delegate in the very first conference when I'm a freshman. But we're scared. We're like, oh my, this is so scary. And like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you grow when you overcome your fears by just putting one foot in front of the other. And maybe you only talk once your first conference, you know. But after that, you gain confidence. You gain a sense of, I can do it. And then you do. And so it's great for anyone with a growth mindset.
I think that's a beautiful part about MUN, is that Everyone has been there at their first conference, not speaking much or not having any experience or not being confident in what they're going to say. And I think the best part is that since everyone has been there, everyone's super happy they're even there to try MUN in the first place. And by being there, you just know that you're going to get better in the future.
Everyone who's like, who you see that's like really eloquent at their speaking ability or like leading the conference as like a chair, as like a secretariat member, or like an organizing committee member, they all understand like the first steps are like the hardest steps to take. So I feel like the idea that people are gonna help you no matter what, like they're not there to like reprimand you for being bad, like that's just not there in MUN, because everybody kind of understands that if it's your first conference, or if it's like your first, second, third, even like fourth conference, and you're kind of shy, it's still like a learning like experience. It's everybody is going through like the steps of learning what MUN is and learning how diplomacy works together.
Our next question is for Mr. Dayton specifically. Why did you start up the MUN club at ICS in the first place?
This is pretty funny. I didn't have a clue what Model United Nation was when I first was a teacher here at ICS. It wasn't really a thing in my culture when I was growing up in like an 80s kid. We didn't do that kind of thing. Weren't really on our radar. But one of the students who came from another school, his name was Ace Yu, and he was absolutely passionate about United Nations. Now, before that, I'd gotten emails about other, every now and then, oh, you're the social studies teacher. Are you interested in doing MUN? And I'm like, well, I'll ask my students. And since I had no clue about what it was, I couldn't really persuade any students to join MUN. I was like, there's this thing called MUN. You want to join? And they're like, yeah, maybe. And no, nothing ever happens, you know. But Ace knew a lot about it. He had done it his freshman year at another school. And when he came in, I'm like, yeah, let's do this. So it began as a student-led organization, and it still is now. They are the leaders.
I think at the beginning of this year, we weren't even confident that we had 10 members that fully came to our meetings. But now we have actually 30 plus members who are active. And I think a huge part in growing our conferences this year or in growing our attendance was just because COVID almost was non-existent this year, being that we were able to go to so many conferences. And that really is the best part about MUN, is the community and meeting other people is what brings people joy about going to MUN conferences. And so these past few years when we didn't have any conferences, it was harder for sophomores and freshmen now to like understand what MUN was. But now that we've been able to go to more conferences this year, I'm very happy that all four of us here have been able to grow MUN into what it is now.
This question is for Jeremy. We heard from a certain source that you've been to over 22 conferences, winning numerous awards and accolades. What keeps you coming back to MUN again and again?
Well, I feel like that's kind of a complicated question. There's not like one single answer I can give. I think it's divided into like 3-4 parts maybe. So of course there's like the thrill of debate and like the adrenaline that gets you going after like you make like a speech, or like, you know, like the anxiety or like the excitement that gets you going about like, oh, what's he gonna say about this? Or what is Pakistan gonna say about like Kashmir? Or, you know, something like that. And like engaging with debate, or, you know, that's already like a part of what I enjoy. I love public speaking. I love debate. Or also like, I think another aspect is that like really community, like the community in MUN and meeting new people, like the social aspect of MUN is another factor that really brings us together. Like in the recent Thammasat MUN conference, we got to meet like all these university students and like the professors, even MFA, like Ministry of Foreign Affairs, like officials that came to the conference and like shared different aspects about how their job works and the community, especially like how we're all striving to build upon each other and work together to grow as a community, and how we as the future generation are fixing the previous generation's mistakes or even improving upon them to make where we live a better place in general. I feel like that's why I go back to MUN even after 22 conferences. Karis, what do you enjoy about MUN?
I definitely have not attended as many conferences as Jeremy. He's just honestly a little crazy, not gonna lie. But I appreciate that crazy because it's what drives our clubs. And definitely, I feel like for me, it's the excitement that has kept me going, attending the annual conferences throughout the years. And I think it's the thrill of just, you know, having to wake up early in the morning and go to a school you've never been to, meeting new people and having to give a speech the minute or like 30 minutes after you walk into the school. And I think that excitement has really created a great community of friends that I still keep in touch with to this day.
This question goes for all of you. What has been your favorite moment in any conference? And do you also have any embarrassing moments?
One of my favorite moments was I took a group of ICS students. It was kind of an impromptu trip to Singapore, to NTU. It was a college level conference. Now, our students got into this conference solely based on writing that they submitted. And so their position papers were well written. The students did an excellent job. So the college didn't really even have an idea that they were high school students. And so here we were with some of the men there, full beards. They looked like Mr. Sean. I saw like four or five of them. They were senior pre-med majors. And here we have ninth graders debating with them. And wow, it was like white belts fighting black belts the first day. We were getting creamed. Jeremy was saying that, you know, this is where we're trying to work together. Well, some of these guys, they try to destroy you. And one of my students, I just never forget, was in tears because two delegates, and they were law majors, I don't know how they have the conscience to do this, he was a 10th grader. They tricked him, he was the delegate of the United States, into insulting another country. And then he had to make a public apology to everyone. It was pretty bad. And he was just like, I don't know if I can do this. But that night he was up till maybe 3 a.m. or so preparing. And the next day he took them to court. Like, it was amazing. He fought back and it won everyone's respect in that conference room.
That was a really interesting experience. Like, I think the university conferences outside of Thailand have really like a competitive mindset, especially those set in like Malaysia or like even Indonesia, I think, have a really intense setting that it's kind of intimidating often to go against those students. Changing the mood though, in another conference I've been to, it was in Jakarta, but it was a high school level conference. We were in United Nations General Assembly on the topic, I think, was Russia decided to militarize the moon by building a missile base. And my solution to that was that even though there's like a treaty that we can't really own space or like militarized space, we should totally go against that. That was Israel. We should totally go against that and instead make the moon like a free market economy. So we would divide the entire territory of the moon into 196 pieces, delegate them off to each country in the United Nations. And then those little territories could be traded as part of national security deals to either procure funds or to procure resources from those other countries. And the best part is that it was called Moonstonks or Moonstocks, and then that resolution actually passed in the General Assembly. So in the United Nations, we decided to capitalize the moon and sell pieces of it off to different countries.
I don't know if you guys know Guy, but he's pretty famous around MUN conferences.
Infamous.
He graduated class of 2021. But he was in one of my committees for BKKMUN in 2020, and we were part of the European Union, and he was a delegate of Italy. And so this story is, I feel like I've heard this story from 20 different people talking about how funny it was. But it was even cooler in the moment because he had brought in raw pasta, and while he was making his speeches, he was chewing on the pasta, and the thing with Guy is everyone is so confused as to what he was doing, but it's the funniest thing in the moment. So that's definitely one of my favorite moments.
From that conference that Karis was talking about, BKKMUN 2020, that was personally mine and Lion's first conference that we'd ever been to. And from that, not just that experience, but other experiences from that conference, I think both of us realized that it was a thing that we wanted to stick with. I specialize in doing historical committees, which is essentially we go back in time. And instead of being countries, you play as historical people. And for TIMUN last year, in 2022, I was in the group called the Normans. We were going against others. Our win condition was that we needed to invade their city and take it down. And the other team's win condition was that they needed to stop us from taking it down. We were, like, my team was doing so well that in the end, the other team decided to burn down their own city. So technically, their win condition was met because they didn't let us attack them. But our win condition was also met because technically, the city was burned down. And in the end, it was called a draw. Even though very clearly, I feel like we should have won.
I am also an avid MUNer, and my favorite experience, I have two actually. One was the first one at the end of my first conference. Both of our chairs told Kush and I that we are quite possibly the worst MUN people they have ever met. That was quite the humbling experience. The second experience I have is a very recent one at BKK Mon 2023. I was a U.S. senator, and what U.S. senators do, I did a very typical thing for a U.S. senator is get arrested. I used FBI to dig up petty crimes on another senator, which led me to get arrested by Jeremy, and that was a very funny thing.
So we had to me and somebody else, I think one of the secretariat, we entered the room yelling FBI open up just because he was trying to use the FBI for personal gains, and then we had to just drag him out of the room. Like, we didn't have handcuffs, like, obviously, like, who would have handcuffs? But we just dragged him out of the room, and he was screaming.
And with that, we'll be right back after a short PSA.
1, 2, 3, 4!
The UN is an international organization that was created in 1945 after the events of World War II. It has 193 member states and 6 official languages. It was created after the League of Nations was disbanded. Its stated goals are to maintain international peace and security, develop friendly relations among nations, achieve international cooperation, and be a center for harmonizing the actions of nations. Some of the challenges the UN is facing today are fighting corruption in Honduras, solidifying Yemen's truce, restoring trust in UN peacekeeping in the DR Congo, and supporting the peacekeeping mission in Mali.
We are now back with part 2 of our Model United Nations episode. This part of the episode will be about the upcoming conferences in the next few months.
Our first question is, what is your specific role for both the TIMUN and the ICS-MUN conferences?
So I am one of the Secretariat Generals for TIMUN, Model United Nations. So essentially what my job is that I need to organize the entire conference as TIMUN Model United Nations and ICS Model United Nations. They're both like student-run organizations. So me and my team of members is the ones who are actually organizing stuff. So coming up with like different topics, like ordering gavels, designing the little placards, designing the little notepads, so on and so forth. I think Kush designed a lot of the Instagram post stuff for Time Model United Nations, and we really thank you for that. Apart from that, we did a lot of meetings with Mr. Wood, who is the director for Time Model United Nations, and we do a lot of emailing to delegates, chairs, other advisors about, you know, if there's like an email that doesn't get sent to like the delegates, we need to follow up on that. And basically like all the behind the scenes work so we can get the awesome conferences happening.
Kush and I are actually both TIMUN chairs as well, although Kush also does other things for TIMUN, which maybe he can explain later. But for ICS-MUN, we are both parliamentarians, meaning that we are under, technically, Sharwish and Jeremy. But we do a lot of work such as running the Instagram, designing the notepads, etc. And I also wanted to shout out Tosh and JC, who are part of our SMC committee, who also help us with a lot of different tasks.
And what I basically do is get lots of important emails and forward them to my amazing students who do everything. And then I pay for things with money and such. But like, I feel like it's great because they are doing the work, the nuts and the bolts. I'm more like a figurehead, and I will, you know, I supervise, not that they need much of it. Things can get a little crazy sometimes, you know, with Lion and other people being in the room. But, you know, we manage, and these guys do the hard work, right? And I really appreciate that. I never have to sweat about this group.
To follow up on what Karis said, three of us from ICS are chairs for Thai MUN. So, Karis, what are you, your historical crisis committee?
Yeah, I actually was a backroom chair last year for historical crisis committee, but it was online. So I'm very excited to go in person this year because Thai MUN is such a prestigious conference. And it's a lot more exciting when it's in person.
Yeah, it's the same for me. I'm chairing the Historical Special Operations Committee, which is the same committee I was in last year, actually, as a delegate. So I'm super excited to be chairing a committee that I'm passionate about. And it's great that I also get to rewrite the rules of procedure for the same committee because, you know, things can always be improved. It was a brand new committee. And yeah, it was really fun. Our next question is, what is the most difficult part about organizing a conference?
I would definitely say there are so many logistics. I think the biggest part is like maintenance, having to talk to so many different teachers at ICS, but also so many different advisors and teachers at other schools. And currently, we've been trying to do the best job that we can at having delegates sign up for our conference, which is pretty difficult because that means we have to do a lot of advertising on Instagram, emails being sent. So we're pretty much doing that every day currently. And another difficult part is a bunch of items that have to be purchased, whether it's notepads, stickers, gavels, so many little things that sometimes you might forget about and then we think about them later and we're like, oh, we have to do that.
To add on that, like, I think the harder part is like to balance all of that before we actually get to the conference dates. I feel like we really started like a bit late for ICS MUN and for this year. So we are kind of rushing through a lot of things. We just got the gavels a few days ago. We still haven't gotten our notepads and our delegate list is far from being complete. We're currently working on that though. Managing the time to kind of balance these different responsibilities as the organizing committee is, I think, the hardest part, apart from the logistics themselves, to organize a successful conference and a successful event in general.
I think a lot of times I feel like when a student comes into my room, they're saying, Mr. Dayton, blah, 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 they start talking really fast. I feel like I have to just tell them, slow down and tell me what happened. And because there's so many things that you have to do, you have to think about, maybe you didn't prepare for. With experience comes a degree of certainty, perhaps a degree of competence. And when you're running, or actually your first conference, which is like most of us are doing here, then it's worrying, you know, and also you can even overthink or maybe think, what if this happens? What if that happens? So knowing what to spend your time doing is important. And then, yeah, like Karis said, there's so many logistical challenges that we probably didn't imagine before we started actually putting it together.
Our next question is, what is MUN useful for in the future?
As a person who's applying to college, I think I can say a few things I've been considering. So most obviously, like a career in the United Nations itself is obviously a thing to consider. If you want to be either like the Secretary General, like I think that can be an option while it's in a rotational basis. You can also work in one of the bureaus of the United Nations, like UNICEF or something like that, as one of the office jobs. If you want like an internship, there's also like various internships that are available to consider going into. I think there's like an opportunity in the UNCC going on right now for the university students that who's actually going into these meetings and actually helping the people run the actual meetings. So those are a few things. If you want to go into international law or take a more law route, you can use that degree or you can use that experience to get like a JD to go into law school or to eventually become a lawyer. To be honest, the possibilities are literally endless here, so the opportunities are open.
I think MUN improves social skills just in general, which you need for any job. And so currently, I mean, as we attend MUN conferences, we're all improving our social skills. But for me personally, I think it certified what I wanted to study. And as I'm applying to college, I have an interest in global studies, international relations, political science, government, that area. Definitely was certified because I attended MUN conferences, and because it is in the general scope of those areas of study, I realized this is what I wanted to study. So being in MUN for all 4 years, it helped me realize that this is something that I'm passionate about and want to take after high school.
Yes, and everyone needs to speak, listen, you know, and to be able to solve problems. And this is exactly what it's all about. You're given complex problems, which there is no easy solution to, and you have to somehow come up with something that other people are actually going to be on board with. And it's really difficult. But once you have been able to develop these skills, as Kara said, and Jeremy, that there's so many endless applications of what you can do with those skills.
Our last question is, are students still allowed to join the club?
Well, as we're coming towards second semester and even starting second semester, I think that if there aren't as many conferences available as the start of last year, where we had plans for, I think, at least 4 or 5 different conferences. In second semester, we only have, I think, including ICS, when there's 3 that I'm certain of, maybe 4. So in terms of joining conferences, there's, I think, 1 or 2 you can go to as of now. But if you want to join the club and come to meetings to see what we're doing, to practice the skills before you go to an actual conference next year, that's also an open opportunity. And the door is always open for all delegates who wish to join.
It's a great way to observe if you do want to join MUN the next year, and we meet in Mr. Dayton's room every Friday. So if you have any questions, you can always talk to one of us.
We are running out of time, but thank you so much to our guests for joining us. It has been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. As we end this episode, we would like to thank our listeners and guests for continuing to support the podcast. Our next episode will be centered around a special subject and day, Valentine's. We'll be hearing stories about dating, along with sharing a list of things not to say or do on a first date. Then, ending with a fun game called Will Lion Find a Mate? Make sure to listen to it. This podcast would not be possible without the hard work and support of our international student production team.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we are signing off until next time. We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.